Well, long while since we've been here with you. Lucretia and I will be stopping at Cincinnati on the way home for the Senior Pastors Conference. And I've had the opportunity and blessing of responsibility for Nigeria for 10 years now. And we'll be stopping back for the Senior Pastors Conference. It's going to be probably the last Senior Pastor Conference that I go to as the senior pastor for Nigeria. I will be 70 in less than 6 months, and some of you can relate to this. I am losing my memory. I don't think it's going into Alzheimer's, but I just very, very forgetful. So Mark Mickelson will become senior pastor. At least that's the plan come July 1st. And I'll be assisting him with still doing the finances. Finances, since it's all written down, I can kind of keep up with that. We were there for the Feast of Tabernacles. We had 148 people in Nigeria, and I brought some pictures, one picture of everybody except for Oladare Akimbo, the elder in Lagos, because he was taking the pictures. And it's interesting, he took pictures of left and right, and I guess he has one of those things where you can blend the pictures together, although one little boy moved. So if you look in the bottom in the middle, you'll see where he blotted some things out. If you don't look for it, you might not see it. But see if you can pick Lucretia and myself out in the crowd. Won't be too hard. Let's see what else. We had a baptism. We baptized two young men, and you can see me where I'm standing, looking extremely pale. Next to everybody else I'm in a swimsuit, and there are two men in the middle, and then the person on the other end is Oladare Akinbo. Now, most of you have seen, we call him Dari, most of you have seen Oladare Akinbo, or Dari. Do any of you, just recently, any of you happen to remember seeing him? One person, two, three, four. All right. How many of you saw the feast video at the Feast of Tabernacles? Okay. Part of that was in Nigeria. Now, Nigeria, 70% of the people live on less than a dollar a day. And our members have a lot of difficulty because so many of the exams, school exams, are on the Sabbath. And Dari is one of those who's absolutely faithful. He never went to a school exam on the Sabbath. And he mentions the trials and how God opened doors. He has a sister who has had to who went to the Feast of Tabernacles last year, and for that reason, she's studying to be an attorney. We like her anyway. But she was in that feast video. Because she went to the feast instead of the exam, it set her back a year. But she was one of the ones that they did. And just to remind you, right at the end, they brought Dari back, and he signed, "Have a wonderful Feast of Tabernacles," or something like that. That was Oladare Akinbo. But anyway, he's on the left end of that picture where we're having the two young men. I got down in the pool and baptized them. And let's see, there's another picture in there of Coleman Wog's wife, N-W-O-G-U. It's an Igbo name. They pronounce their name. Igbo is a very difficult language, but it's Wog, something like that. And they greet each other in Daewoo, something like that too. But you'll see Stella. Stella, there was one of the girls who attends in the Awari congregation was attacked, and by one of the young men in the Awari congregation. They lived not too far from each other, and there was a little trail. And so he tried to get her to have sex with him. She refused, so he was trying to rape her. And she screamed, And I think somebody came and she got away. Anyway, Coleman is the deacon. We don't have an elder in the Awari congregation. And Coleman, we instructed Coleman to tell that that boy could not come to church. You know, kind of obvious. Anyway, the parents really got upset that we had said that. And they were really causing trouble at church. And the mother of the boy jumped on Stella and bit her on the neck. And she has a growth that comes there. Sometimes I forget what kind of growth it is. Lucretia, do you remember what kind of growth? But anyway, it's something, sometimes people with darker skin get it more often. Any of you remember what that is? There's a picture of Stella. She's a very nice lady, or attractive lady. But I took a picture of it. The churches gave, some people gave me money to just take over and give to those in need. I had $600, and we gave half of it to them to have that removed from her neck. In Awari, the hospitals won't do it because it's so close to the jugular vein. So she's going to go into Lagos, about 15 million people in Lagos. Nigeria is the giant of Africa in population, has about 140 million people, which is much larger than any other African country. They say one out of every six black people live in Nigeria, in the world, and on earth. I don't know. I heard one out of every eight, and then it was one out of every seven, and one out of every six. I don't know who's counted all these people. It's kind of hard to take a count in Africa anyway. But she's going to go down there. He felt for $300 he could take her, they could get her there and do the operation. Can you imagine something like that here? How much would it be to remove something, you know? Just to walk in the door, they charge you $300. So anyway, that half the money went for that. And when you see the group picture, over on the right-hand side, there's a very tall lady. And she's taller than her husband. Her husband's in there, but you can see her. She was given, she and her husband were given $200. They live in Benin City, and they had a little business in a little shamble, little, you know, a wooden shack. Well, in Nigeria, people just put up shacks anywhere. And right there in Benin City, they were building them on the edge of the streets, on the road. And it was, you know, it wasn't owned by them, but they were renting something somebody else had built. And the city got tired of those being there, so they just came with a bulldozer and bulldozed them all down. And so Dari said that they could really use some money. I gave them, I gave him the $600, and he gave them $200. He felt that would be enough to get another building in a legal spot, so a shack. Can you imagine starting your business with $200 and getting back into business? Then there was another man, and if you look at the picture where we're all sitting, the whole church, and you'll figure out where I am. Well, the man who's to my right, your left when looking, is 1 month older than I am, and he turns 70 in April, and he's a carpenter, and they're having a difficult time, so Dari said he was going to give the other $100 to him. Can you imagine doing, I mean, that's a lot of money in a country where 70% of the people live on less than a dollar a day. If a person has a job where they're earning $2, they feel like that's a good job for them. So, anyway, hope you enjoy those pictures of Nigeria. There is one young lady, and she's got the Nigerian headdress. The African ladies like to wear something, a headdress, and the Nigerians will starch them to where they stand way up. And a beautiful young lady is there, Fumilayo Alimi, and she's holding a baby. It's not her baby. She's single. People over there just pick up any baby in church and take care of it. So I just like the picture. She's beautiful young lady, beautiful baby, and the big, beautiful headdress that she has. And then there's a picture of my wife holding a baby too. Let me see, what else was I going to tell you? I guess that might be enough. We're doing well in Nashville, except for they need a younger pastor, but that's not unusual. Just to explain my memory, I saw a lady at church, and I went up to see her, and, you know, because I've never seen this lady before. And I said, "Hi, my name's Fred Kellers." And she said, "I know. We met when I was here 3 weeks ago." I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I have a very poor memory." She said, "I know. You told me that 3 weeks ago." So I can go home from church and say, "I anointed John Paul Jones." We actually have a guy named John. Any of you know John Paul Jones? Anybody? Well, you've read about him in school. But we have a guy named John Paul Jones. And I remember, "I anointed John Paul. What was it for?" So I went up to see him next time I saw him. And I said, "How are you feeling?" And he said, "Oh, I'm much better. Thank you very much." I didn't tell him I didn't even remember what I anointed him for. But he was okay. I still don't know what it was. And I've been on the way home and I've said, "I anointed somebody. Who was it?" Okay, so now you know I'm not kidding about my memory. I do have a memory problem. Oh, it's funny. All of us, you know. I bet I'm not the only one in this room that has... Huh? Is that right? Huh? I see a few other folks, some of you nodding. So, I still remember Lucretia. You've heard the one about the guy saying, "We went to this beautiful island in the Caribbean." You know, they're back and saying, "Oh, where was it?" He says, he was with some guys in the living room. The wives were in the kitchen. And he says, oh, haven't you heard this one? Okay, some of you have, some of you haven't. He says, "What is that beautiful flower that people give to someone they're in love with?" You know, and the other guy said, "Rose?" And he says, "Yeah, yeah. Hey, Rose, what was that island we went to?" Okay, now you've heard it. I do remember things in the past better than... It's the short-term memory that's the problem. But I was here 10 years ago. It was July for the wedding. Josh and Alicia. See, I remembered their name. And I'm reminded that that was at Comstock Park. And while I was here, a lady was asking me some questions about the law. And I'm going to get my stopwatch started. And I said, "Well, next time I come, I'll cover the law." Now, that lady, I don't remember her. I don't know that she's here. She may not be alive. But I said I would cover it, these questions about the law. So I want to, and I don't like to give more than 15 verses. Not like when I first went out in the ministry 46 years ago. I gave gobs of verses. You just, you're going through. Now if it's 15 is all that I want to put into an hour. So if I have more than that, I had 19 I think this time. So I like to print them. We didn't hand it out yet, did we? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I should ask you. See, I forgot. I meant to ask you right at the beginning to do a handout. Well, while they're coming with the handouts, that way you won't have to be turning. Everybody can get one. Every man, woman, and even if a child wants one to make a paper plane out of. I want to ask you this question. While you're doing that, here's the question. Now listen, even though you're getting these, I want to ask this question. Do you want to be under the law or under grace? And the other question is, do you want to be dead to the law? Now think about it. You want to be under the law or under grace? Do you want to be dead to the law? Okay, I'm going to take a show of hands. I'm going to be bold to see who wants to be under the law, who wants to be under grace, and who wants to be dead to the law. Okay? How many of you... Well, let's start with dead to the law. How many of you want to be dead to the law? I'll raise my hand every time just to encourage you. Does anybody here want to be dead to the law? Okay, two. How many of you want to be under the law? I'm going to raise my hand every time. How many of you want to be under grace? Oh, okay. More hands there. Well, let's start with dead to the law. In Nashville, we were having bank robberies over on the far west end of town, Charlotte Avenue. Two men drove over from Memphis, got off at Charlotte Avenue, pulled up to a bank. One stayed in the car, the other went into the bank. In the bank, there was a policeman, uniform policeman. And somehow a gunfight started. If I were a bank robber, I just would have turned around and walked out when I saw a policeman. But he pulled his gun, shot the policeman through the arm, but the policeman was able to get off two shots and kill the bank robber dead. Now, hearing shots, and the guy didn't come out, the guy outside decided to take off, but the FBI and plainclothes policemen had been staking out that area because they'd been hitting, it was just one of the first exits you get off, Charlotte Avenue, and they were just hitting banks that were all along there. So he started to take off, and they yelled for him to stop outside. And he kept going. They fired a shot, went through the car, went through his neck, did not kill him. Was not really badly harmed. Put him in the hospital, got him out. I indicted him. Probably he's in prison right now. Now, he didn't shoot anybody. But they put him in prison. What about the guy who went into the bank? What did the law do to him? Didn't do anything to him. Why? Right? His relatives would have collected the body. They didn't indict him. No grand jury. Family just took him and buried him, I guess. They may have incinerated him. I don't know what they did with his body. You know why the law didn't do anything? You know, don't you? He was dead to the law. Now, we all want to be dead to the law. Why? Because everybody in here has broken the law, and the wages of sin is death. So you know you can pay the law yourself. You and I can pay it off. All we have to do is wait for the third resurrection, go into the lake of fire, burn up, and we will be then dead to the law. Now, I hope none of you want to be dead that way. But you can also take the death of Jesus Christ. And you can die spiritually, physically, in that sense. Your body of sin can be dead because you take on the death of Jesus and are buried with him in baptism. And then you're dead to the law. And the law cannot touch a dead person. So that's what we must become. We've all earned death. We all want to pay it off. I don't want to pay it off in the lake of fire, in the second death. I want to accept the death of Jesus Christ. Now I am dead. I'm a dead person, crucified with Christ. I want to talk about under the law and under grace. Now, you're going to have to imagine this, because I didn't bring a sign. But I want you to imagine that right over here on my right-hand side, your left side, and I'll move over there slightly, is a sign that says law. There's law right there. Now, I am under the law. Imagine over here on my left side, your right, that there's a sign right here and it says grace. Now, let's put myself over here where I justly deserve to be, under the law. Now, what have I done with it? Did I perfectly keep that law? You know, you don't have to worry about the law if you never break it. If you never go over the speed limit, you don't have to worry about getting a ticket, unless it's corrupt cop or something. Yeah, I drive the speed limit. Don't worry about looking for police. So if you perfectly have kept the law, then you will not have to worry about death. Anybody, I'm not going to raise my hand here. Anybody here has perfectly kept the law? Any of you? You never, ever, ever, ever broke it? So, you know the problem with the law? You and I have all broken it. So, really, what is our relationship to the law? We're sinners. Lawbreakers. So, what is the law? What's its relationship to us? We have the wages of breaking the law, which is death. My relationship to the law is that I was a liar. I was a thief. I lusted. I thought nothing of lying. I grew up that way. Thought nothing of it. Well, if you watch a Disney movie, even all the good people tell lies. Lying is a way of life. So my relationship to the law is that I deserve death. So I am under not just law, but broken law. Now you'll notice that it says here, under the law is used only by Paul. Jesus never, if Jesus used the term, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John did not record it. It's only used by Paul, only 12 times in 10 verses. It's in Romans 3 times. 1 Corinthians 2 verses are there. And in Galatians there are 5 verses. Dead to the law is only used twice, once in Romans and once in Galatians. John didn't use it. Paul never used the expression. Paul is the only one who used the expression. Peter never used the expressions. But we have to look to Paul to understand what he meant. But let me warn you first that grace, and we don't want to be under the law. Because under the law does not mean obeying it. It means under sin, because Paul used the expression under sin and under the law interchangeably. He used them both interchangeably in the same books. Because are we under? Oh, I'm under the law. I've been keeping it. No, you're under the law. You've all broken it. I've broken it. My relationship to the law is that I'm a sinner. And that's what Paul meant. We'll see that. Under grace means that I die. Now, there's a word in the Bible called justification. Justification is when you go from under the law, sinner, under sin. So you could write, instead of just law, you could write broken law, sin. Going over to under grace, that's called justification. I'm unjust, I'm justified. But now, it's not me over here. Who's actually living this life? Jesus. The life I now live, I don't live by Fred Keller's but Jesus who gave himself for me. But there is a warning that Jude gave. And you know this is true. Jude 3 and 4. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. That was God's understanding that this would happen. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lasciviousness, I've got the Greek word there. Lawless insolence. Lawless. People are turning grace into lawlessness. Wanton caprice, I looked it up. So let me ask you this statement. Now the first thing I want you to notice is our works, our law keeping can't save us. Why? Because only if you're perfect. Only if I'm perfect. Only if I've never sinned can my works. Yeah, I can go to God and say, I've never sinned. But that's not happening to any of us. I want to ask if you agree with this statement. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How many of us agree with that statement? Well, why should we agree with it? It's in the Bible. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. But notice the next verse, Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. But the point is, yes, we need to do good works. But our good works can't save us because we've all broken the law. We've all failed. So our works cannot, and our relationship to the law is that we are under the penalty of the law under sin, under the death penalty. Now notice then in Romans 2, verses 12 and 13. Romans 2, verses 12 and 13. We have people listening in? Okay, so they don't have this paper that we have here, so I will try to remember to repeat the scriptures. Romans 2, verses 12 and 13. For as many as have sinned without law, these are people who may not know the law, live in China, something. As many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law, they know the law, shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Now, wait. Justification is going from under the law, under sin, over to under grace. But look what it said. I'm telling you, your works can't get you from here to there. I'm telling you that your law keeping cannot get you from there to there. Because look, I go down to the judge. Let's say I have gone through a stoplight. And I go to the judge and I say, Judge, I want you to give me grace. And he says, well, have you been still running stoplights? Yes. I've been running stoplights. And I want grace so I can continue. 30 days in jail. Your works can I go to the judge and say, well, Judge, I have been stopping at every stoplight since then, so you have to forgive me. My stopping at all the stoplights since I got pulled over has removed my guilt. Would that do it? So you murder somebody, you know. Now you're in Folsom Prison. Why'd you kill this guy? Just to see him die. I know it's true because Johnny Cash told me so. And, you know, I'm stuck in Folsom Prison. Killed a man in Reno just to see him die. I don't know. That may not be a real popular song up in Michigan. Anyway, so I go to the judge and say, Judge, yes, I did kill the guy in Reno just to watch him die. But, you know, I haven't killed anybody since. And my works are good. So, you know, my works have forgiven me of killing that guy. Now, your works can't forgive you what you did before. So here I am, a sinner. I can do all kinds of law keeping, but it doesn't forgive what I did before when I broke the law. The only way I'm going to get from here to there is through grace, to be justified. So why does it say doers of the law shall be justified? It doesn't say doing the law justifies you. It says doers of the law shall be justified. So I can ask the judge for grace, maybe not for murder, but maybe for running a stoplight and say, Judge, I'm sorry, I don't have any money. I'm in bad shape. I was in this big hurry. My wife was in the hospital. I have an affidavit from the doctor, and I don't have the money, been out of work, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I say, I'm sorry, and I'm asking for grace. See, the judge will say, have you been running stoplights? I say, no, Your Honor, I have not run another stoplight, and it is my intention to never run a stoplight again. Now, the judge might give me grace, because I am keeping the law. But it doesn't make him have to give me grace. But he's not going to give me grace if I say, no, I want to run the lights. No, only if I am keeping the law do I have a chance of being justified. And the same is with God. If I'm not trying to keep the law, he's not going to justify me through grace. So only doers of the law shall be justified, not by doing the law. That just means that God sees you trying and he will apply the sacrifice of Jesus to you. You've got to repent, which means change. Turn around, go the other way, quit sinning. Then he can apply that sacrifice to you. So our works can't save us. Now, we have all broken the law, sinned, and sin brings death. 1 John 3:4. Now, at the end of this, I've got AV, Authorized Version, King James Version. I have some of these are King James translations, which are a little clearer than the New King James. Some are New King James, which are a little clearer than the King James. But you can check them out in both. They're not going to be a real difference. 1 John 3:4. Whoever committeth, you can tell right there, committeth is a good King James word. Committeth sin, transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. So I'm talking about our relationship with the law. Under the law, to Paul, means the same as under sin. Because we've all transgressed the law. Romans 4, verse 15. Because the law works wrath. What kind of wrath? Well, being tossed in the lake of fire is a pretty good example of wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. But there is a law, and there is transgression. And here's the law. It's good law. I like the law. says, don't murder. Don't lie. I don't want people to murder me. I don't want people to lie to me. I want to keep the Sabbath. So it's wonderful. Except, I haven't always done it. I think it's a wonderful law. But it has worked wrath because I broke it. Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned. This is Paul's point. We've all broken the law and deserve death. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That was Romans 3, verse 23. I don't think I repeated those. First was Romans 4, verse 15, then Romans 3, verse 23, and Romans 6, verse 23. Those of you who are listening in, if you're trying to turn to all of these, good luck. So, Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death. And that's our relationship as human beings, natural human beings, to the law. We've all sinned. We all deserve death. And it has worked wrath. We're all under the law, all under sin. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, once again, we're all under sin, under the law. And we'll read some verses about that. Romans 3, verse 9. Romans 3, verse 9. At least we're in Romans, don't have to turn too far for those who are turning. Or you can turn later. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. So here in Romans where he uses under the law, under grace, under sin. He just uses under the law and under sin interchangeably. Mr. Armstrong used to just basically say it meant under the penalty of the law. And he was absolutely right. It's under sin. What's the penalty? Death. And then I want to go through some verses where it has under and explain the word under just for a moment. And there's a reason for that. Because there is a place where the Bible says under the law and the word is not under in the Greek. You can understand why the translators did it because of their beliefs. But it's not the same Greek word. The usual Greek word for under, and I've got it written there for you, is hupo. By the way, we have an English word that we get from this. Anybody know what it might be? Hypo. Like a hypodermic needle. Dermis is your skin. And a hypodermic needle goes under your skin. So we say, you know, somebody is hyper or hypo. Hyper is above. They've gone up. Hypo is under. But the Greeks, it wasn't really hypo, it was hupo. Hupo. Well, how do we know? That was a long time ago when this was written. So, could have changed. But at least the Greek that we have today is hupo. We think it was hupo. So the Greek word for under, when it says under sin, is hupo. Then in Romans 7, verses 12 through 14. Romans 7, verse 12 through 14. Now here's the law. Now here's this law that I'm under. Is it a bad law? Is it the fault of the law? The law that says not to lie, not to steal, not to covet, not to commit adultery. It's a good law. We all like it. And that's what he says. Wherefore, the law is holy. And that's the one I've broken. And the commandment, holy and just and good. Was then that which is good, which is the law, made death to me, unto me? God forbid. That's obviously the King James again. It doesn't really say that in the Greek. Certainly not would be closer translation. God forbid it has here. But sin, that is brokenly, is the problem the law? No, it's breaking the law. Sin. I'm under broken law. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good. The problem was Fred. That sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law, not a bad law, is spiritual. But I am carnal. The word carnal is Latin, carne. When I was a boy, you didn't just go in and you bought chili, a bowl of chili. It was chili con carne. Yes, thank you. When I was a boy, they always said chili con carne, and then it got shortened. Chili is a pepper. Con means with. And carne is meat. So it was chili peppers with meat. And carne means, that's from the Latin, as I said. However, the Greek is sarke, which means flesh. It's where you get sarcophagus from. You take the dead flesh and stick it in a sarcophagus. It's sarke. So really, I would have liked them to translate it, but I am flesh, sold under sin. Once again, I'm under the law over here. What kind of law am I under? Broken law. Under sin. What is sin? Transgression of the law. Broken law. I don't want to be under the law. I don't want to be under sin. I want to get out from under. Being under the law doesn't mean keeping the law. Not according to Paul. Yeah, I mean, you and I could use it that way, but that's not what Paul meant. He meant under broken law. When he said under the law, he meant under sin. For us, it'd be easy to misunderstand it. Matter of fact, people misunderstand it all the time. Many church members misunderstand it. In English, we use under something means under obedience to whatever we're under. But that's not what Paul meant. He meant under sin, broken law. Now, I'm skipping around here, but I've explained this, you know, just popped open the Bible and explained it to people, starting off in Romans 3 and going to Galatians and 1 Corinthians. But I've taken all the verses and kind of putting them in categories. Ms. Reed, you have it. All right, the other side of the paper now. Now he's going to use here in Galatians. Notice it's going to be used interchangeably again. I'm going to go to Galatians 4 first and verses 4 and 5. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under, hupo, the law, to redeem them that were, hupo, the law. So how did He redeem us? By dying. Delivering us from what we deserve, death. Because we were all under the law, meaning we all sinned. And in Galatians 3:22, which is before previous, not far before, in that same letter. But the Scripture has concluded all under sin. Do you see how he uses it interchangeably? Under sin, under the law. He does not mean, under the law does not mean to obey the law. It means to have broken the law. The Scripture has concluded all under broken law, transgression of the law, that the promise of faith, which is the only way we're going to get from under the law to under grace and have that broken law be, we're delivered from it, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. See how I'm doing? Oh, a little over 30 minutes. Not bad. And let's see. I get lost sometimes. And not as bad as I did once when this first hit me. I had to have people in the audience tell me where I had just been. What scripture? I happened on a plane. I got real dizzy. I may have had a little mini stroke coming back from Nigeria. Got very confused. Anyway, I'm doing better than I did then. I'd be driving down the highway and think, where am I going? Any of you ever had that? You're driving down the highway and you think, where am I? Where am I going? I'm not that bad anymore. So, Nashville knows. My members know. If they speak to me at church, ask me to pray about something or do something, they'll say, Mr. Kellers, I think you better write that down. I'll pull out the 3x5 cards and I'll write it down. Or they'll send me an email. Say, I just want to remind you about thus and such. So I think we're up to Romans 7 here. Romans 7, verses 9 and 10. For I was alive without the law once. Now, what does he mean by that? He meant he didn't realize that he was headed toward death. You know, I grew up. How many little kids go around, they tell a little lie, and they think, I'm headed toward death? No, they see themselves as alive. And then you and I find out we've broken the law, and we realize, wait, I'm headed toward the lake of fire. Death. I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, when he learned about the law, and I learned about the Sabbath, 1959. Well, actually, it was late 58. I was still at Clemson University. I learned about the Sabbath. I didn't know I had been breaking it. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died, meaning he had death waiting for him. Kind of like the old expression that nothing concentrates the mind like the prospect of a hanging. You know, if you're in jail and they're considering hanging, you probably don't worry about your ingrown toenails. It concentrates the mind. Well, sin revived, and he knew where he was headed, death. And I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. The commandment was for life, and all of us have rejected it. Which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. This wonderful, holy, righteous, pure law that leads to life has led me to death because I've broken it. I don't want to be under that law because that's under the penalty, death. Now, Galatians 3, verse 13. Galatians 3, verse 13. Now, here's one that can be misunderstood. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Oh, that law is a curse. Wait. The law that is on the books here in Michigan, there's a law against killing, against murder. Is that law a curse? Well, if you murder somebody, it is. But if you don't murder anybody, it's not a curse. What is the curse of the law? It's one word answer. What is the curse of the law? Death. Yes, ma'am. I read your lips. Christ has redeemed us. It's not the law that is a curse. It's breaking the law and having the law point its finger toward you and say, "You broke me, you die." That's the curse of the law. Keeping the law is ordained to life. Breaking the law, the wages are death. Has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree." He took the death for us. He paid for us. Now Galatians 2, verse 20. One of the most beautiful verses in the Bible. Galatians 2 and verse 20. "I am crucified with Christ." Ah, now I can be over here on this side under grace. No longer under the curse of the law. But is it really Fred Keller's? "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me." So really, everybody under grace, it should be living the life of Jesus Christ. Because what's going to happen if somebody over here under grace, Christ living in them, what if they tell a lie? What if they steal, commit adultery? What's going to happen? You know, dead people don't lie. Dead people don't steal. The law is going to look down and say, "Wait! You're not Jesus Christ. You're Fred Keller's. Fred, haven't seen you in a while. Come back over here. I want you. You're under me, brother. That's not Jesus Christ over there under grace. That's Fred Keller's." What did Paul say? "I die daily." We have to crucify ourselves every day. Let Jesus live within us. It's got to be Jesus driving. You know, when I go down the highway, that's a dangerous place out there. What's the most dangerous thing to me on the highway? Well, it's mechanical. In my car, it's the nut that holds the steering wheel. You know, the most dangerous thing on the highway to me is me. So it's not just protect me from all the other nuts out there. It's protect me from myself. It's got to be Jesus driving. Jesus is not going to get upset. Somebody pulls in front of you and he's going to, you know, pull right up behind him. Get mad. I need Jesus to be driving my car. "Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So I'm over here under grace, Christ living in me. keeping the law as Jesus who never broke it. And that's how I've got to do. Now, I haven't done it perfectly, so I have to go repent and put myself back to where I ask for grace and faith to justify me so I can stay under grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20 and 21. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 20 and 21. Old guys lean on the podium more, don't they too? I'll repeat it. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 20, 21. Now here is where there is a mistranslation. And I understand why the translators did it. Under the law is mentioned quite a bit here, but it's not hupo every time. And under the Jews, I became as a Jew. Now, of course, he was a Jew, but he behaved in such a way as Jews think, spoke as Jews would speak, speaking to Jews. I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, now that's hupo. Under is hupo here. As under the law. That is, he went to sinners and spoke to sinners from a sinner's point of view. Like somebody who, you know, might be trying to help an alcoholic. Of course, recovering alcoholics are the best ones to help recovering alcoholics usually. So he spoke to those who were sinners who had broken the law as under the law. That I might gain them that are under the law. Hupo. To them that are without law. This could be Greeks who didn't have the law. Could be Italians who didn't have the law. To them that are without law, as without law. Now, he didn't become these people, but he looked at it from their point of view. So those who are without law, as without law, I looked at it from their point of view, spoke to them from their point of view, but notice what he says, being not without law to God. He did not break the law. He said, I spoke to those, to them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law. You know, the Greek word there is not hupo, because hupo the law, hupo nomos, he used to mean under sin. But here he is not using that expression, even though that's the way they translated it. Not every translation has, but the King James, New King James certainly did. But under the law, the Greek here is in nomos. Now, the Greek word for law is nomos. And the Greek word ion is the word we get ion from, in, means to be within. There's another Greek word that means you're outside and you go into, where we use the English, go, I'm going to go in the house. That's a different, that's ace in Greek. But this is, you're saying, how do I remember these? I learned these a long time ago when I still had a memory. And I still forget them every now and then. Every time I put something new in up here, two things fall out the back. It literally means in law. It literally means in law. Not your in law, but within the law. To Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. So he acts as if he's without law to gain those who are without law. But he says, not being without law to God. That's the important part to show. He is not saying, I'm free from the law. He says, not being without law to God, but within law to Christ. Young's literal translation has translated it this way. To those without law, as without law, not being without law to God, but within law to Christ, that I might gain those without law. I mean, this verse proves he was keeping the law. Doesn't prove he wasn't. Weymouth New Testament, to men without law, as if I were without law, although I am not without law in relation to God, but am abiding in Christ's law in order to win those who are without law. Okay. Romans 6. Verses 1 through 7. Romans 6, verse 1 through 7. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? What is sin? Transgression of the law. Shall we continue to break the law that grace may abound? God forbid. You can tell this is King James. Once again, the actual Greek is, as the New King James has it more correct. Certainly not. How shall we that are dead to sin? Remember I talked about dead to the law? Means dead to the penalty of the law. Dead, we have, price has been paid. You're not dead to keeping the law. Some have said, well, the law died. Hey, it doesn't say the law died. It says we die. We are dead, not to keeping the law, dead to breaking the law, to the broken law. We take on the death of Jesus, and the law looks on us as, well, Fred is dead, but look over there, there's somebody living in his body. It's Jesus. Dead to sin, live any longer therein. If we're dead to sin, should we continue sinning? This is this point. Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. We're dead to sin. We can't live in it any longer. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Our going down to the water, you're dead. Then you come up to newness of life, but not you. Hands are laid on us. Jesus' Spirit is not just with us, but within us. And we are to live his life. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We've got to live a new life, a righteous life, obedient life, not breaking the law, within the law to God. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, the old lawbreaker, is crucified with him, that the body of sin, that is the body that broke the law, which I did, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We should not be breaking the law and serving law breaking, lying, stealing, lust. For he that is dead is freed from keeping the law? Obeying the law? No. Freed from broken law, sin. He that is dead is freed from sin, broken law. Now, Romans 6, same chapter, verses 14 through 16. Romans 6, verse 14 through 16. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Now, it doesn't mean that you will never, ever sin again. That would be nice. I would like that. But at least it doesn't have dominion over you. For you are not under the law. I'm not over here. Under sin, under the law. So sin, broken law, should not have dominion over me. Broken law should not have dominion over me. That would be, I would be under sin. For you're not under the law, but under grace. That's where you want to be, brethren. You don't want to be under the law. By the way, Paul meant it. Now, if you say I'm under the law, and by that you mean I'm obeying it, that's not what Paul meant. That's okay as terminology, but not the way Paul meant it. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin, over here, under broken law, unto death, or of obedience, that's Jesus in us, that's the only way to obey. I can't obey. I can't control my tongue, my eyes, my thoughts. So I need him. His servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. That's obeying the law now. Obeying God and his commandments. And Romans 7, verses 22 through 25. Romans 7. 22 through 25. So now, continuing on in Romans, for I delight in the law of God. Oh, wow. How many people don't delight in the law of God? Well, Paul delighted in it, according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members. Now, he's going to bring up something that I don't think any other, it could have, I don't know. I don't know of any other place in the Bible that it refers to this, but Paul brought up his own analogies and similes. He had his own way, and he has perfect right to do so. But he says, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. So there are two laws within him. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. He's saying on his own, in his own flesh, there was a law. The law was, Paul, you're going to break God's law. Now he's saying the law of God is in his mind. He liked it. He said, it's wonderful. It's good. It's holy. I'm happy with it. It's spiritual. It's in my mind. I love it. And then he goes out and breaks it. So you see, these two laws are fighting. Well, they're really both in your mind, but Paul's analogy is that one's in your flesh and the other's in your mind. I personally don't think in my foot, I think in my mind. But he's making, you know, that separation just to say, you know, that there are two aspects of his personality. One, wanting to do God's law, and the other, not wanting to do God's law. Don't we all have that fight every now and then? Want to do this, want to do that, and can't do them both? Want to keep Sabbath, but also want to watch that. What was it? The the Lions also want to watch the Lions play, you know, or something. They don't play on Saturday, I guess, or maybe a university football team. That would do. See? I want to keep the Sabbath. Well, I sure want to watch this. This is a big game for the University of Michigan or whatever. Another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and which one wins on our own? Who's going to win? And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who will deliver me from this body of death? Because he's breaking the law. Well, we know how it is through Jesus Christ. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, that's how we're delivered. So then with the mind, I myself, and this is something that's easily confused. As Peter said, Paul wrote some things difficult to be understood. This is one of them right here. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. How many guys can come home and say, yes, I did stop off at the bar and I did go out with a prostitute, but honey, I was thinking of you the whole time. And she'd say, my sister Lorena knew how to fix this. And I know too. Some of you might remember Lorena. I don't think a wife's going to agree with that. Oh, honey, you thought of me the whole time. That's so sweet. Why don't you just sit down at the table and I'll fix a special meal for you? What he is saying is that for the rest of his life, there's going to be a fight. As long as he is flesh, the flesh is going to be wanting to serve sin. And the mind that he wants to do with God is going to want to serve God. But there's always going to be the tug to not serve God for the rest of his life. However, this goes right on into chapter 8. That's the last verse of chapter 7, Romans. But chapter 8, Romans 8, and we'll read the first four verses. He says, there is an escape. How? With Jesus Christ. Who'll deliver me from this body of death? Well, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. But now, Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. As we are in Him, He's in us. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. All right. The flesh is pulling the wrong way, Paul says. The Spirit is pulling the right way. Question is, which way do you walk? Do we walk the way of the flesh, or do we walk the way of the Spirit? Well, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Who is the Spirit? Jesus. Jesus is that Spirit, he said in 2 Corinthians. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin. Not from keeping the law, you're not free from that. Free from sin, broken law, and death. For what the law is over here, when you're under grace, the law is here also. But it's in you. Not hanging over you like a judge. It's Jesus within us. And that is the law in us. It's not just the law on one side and no law, you know, law on the other. It's broken law on one side and kept law on the other. Through grace, through Jesus. Free from the law of sin and death. Free from sinning. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He was flesh and never sinned because of the Spirit that was in Him. Never sinned because of the Spirit of God within Him. He condemned sin in the flesh. Said, look, with the Spirit of God, you don't have to sin. You don't have to break the law. Condemned it. That the righteousness of the law, that's obeying over here under grace, the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. We're not walking this sinful way. We're not walking the way of breaking the law. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's Jesus and the righteous way. Now, I actually went 2 minutes over my time. However, since I don't get here often, you guys hand out the second sheet. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. It's nice to be here with you. Nice to be here with Lucretia's baby brother, her little brother, and his wonderful family. Did you used to carry him? Probably did when he was, maybe, should have, probably did. Well, you know, if you just kept picking him up every day, if every day you just kept picking him up every day, oh, would you be a...